Please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. And I was told that it helps translations if we say the scripture reference twice. Gives them a chance to get there. So Acts chapter 5, and we're going to review the theme verse for the weekend, which is verse 20. And it's a fantastic record, but we're just going to read the one verse here. It says, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And a lot of what I'm going to show you this morning is a bit of a review from what we've done yesterday. Such great lessons that we got yesterday. And I'm running over some of that again. And so when we go speak, we got to go to where the people are, right?
Right.
I mean, and you want to go where people want to hear. And you don't always know what that is, but I know that God can inspire you and give you revelation on where to go and who to talk to and even what to say. So that takes the burden off, doesn't it? Makes it fantastic. So I would like to share this in Lifelines. Does everybody know this book? I'm sure, pretty sure you do. Steve referred to this yesterday, I think, or somebody. So on the section on moving the word, this is the exact same one Steve did. And or who was that?
Bob.
But I'm going to do it again. It says, not only go where the people are, but where the people will listen. And it's our job to speak. You know, we can't dictate who's gonna listen exactly, but you can have a pretty good idea. Please stay in Acts chapter, move up to chapter 6. And in verse 2, we're gonna look a little bit at Philip. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and all these others, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So let's go on over to chapter 8. So we see that Philip was chosen to serve tables. We're going to learn a little bit more about this guy. And in verse 26, chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Well, arise and go toward the south. I just skipped the page. Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. It doesn't mean he went down south, but he went downhill. The desert was down low. And I guess, is your house down low? Oh, yeah. He lives in the desert in Arizona. So. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So this guy was really a big deal guy. He probably had guards watching over him, taking care of him. He had a whole caravan traveling across the desert. He wasn't out there by himself in a chariot. It was a big group. And I find it interesting because, well, we'll continue. was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip did what?
Ran.
He ran. And, you know, with all those people traveling with this eunuch, who was a very important person, he was appointed by the queen to look after all of her stuff. And he probably had bodyguards and everything. And Philip just ran right through there. Can you picture it? And he ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And so I know God showed him or told him exactly what to do, what needed to be said. And he had an attitude of service so that he ran. He didn't just go, you know. It's fantastic. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? And look what Philip had to say. And I want you to remember this verse because you'll see the importance more as we continue. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah. And that's the job that we all have. Just briefly, let's jump over to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 8. Am I remembering to do all these scriptures twice? Are we there? And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the what?
Evangelist.
The evangelist. I just wanted to go here just to make a point that Philip was an evangelist. He was pointed over the work, but he it didn't say in Acts early on when he was one of the seven that he, you know, he was an evangelist. But here it mentions what he was. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So Philip had the ministry of an evangelist. And in here, you're going to see that we also have a ministry too. Who was Corinthians written to?
Us, the church.
That's right, us, the church. And in verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us what?
Ministry.
That's exactly right. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. So we got the job of a ministry of reconciliation. We've got the equipment to do that job. We have the word of reconciliation. Just a little point. Go to 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 5, so the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy here, when the church, the first century church, was in its spiritual degradation. And I don't know what all Timothy's ministries were, but the need here in verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of a what?
Evangelist.
Doesn't say he was an evangelist. I wanted to know about that. So I looked it up again in the Timothy teachings Dr. Werwell did to the Wake Corps, Fourth Corps, he said that he didn't believe that Timothy was an evangelist, but he was to do the work of an evangelist because that was needful. And we have a ministry too, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. It's always needful. That's right, because Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, and now he's not here. He's not present, but you have Christ in you, and you are here, and we have that ministry. It's been given to us. What a privilege. And we got the ability because we got the word of reconciliation. Just a little analogy about a campfire. If you might have heard this analogy before. I think it's a great one. You've got pieces of wood. They're all stacked together. It's burning. And it had to start off with a little kindling. Somebody got that fire going. And then it caught on. All the wood's burning. Guess what? If you went there to that campfire and you kicked all the logs apart, and went over here, went over there, went over there, guess what happens to those logs? They go out. They won't burn. They require each other. And believing inspires believing in others. Believing is contagious. And that's how the body of Christ works. And in the ministry of reconciliation, when you bring somebody to the fold, somebody else brings somebody, all of a sudden, you have a work. It's burning. You know, it's fantastic. And we all have an important, integral part of that. And the more we function individually, the better we function as a body. In Power for Abundant Living, in session one, first 30 minutes, which we use often to, you know, turn people on to take Power for Abundant Living. We used to call them explanations, and in our fellowship we did one a year ago and renamed it, what we call it, class presentation. I think it was a little better than an explanation. We let Dr. Werwell explain the class. But he closed that first segment by saying, not only do we need to have a knowledge of the integrity and the accuracy of God's word, but we must also get the zeal, the enthusiastic believing, the concern that other men and women might know that the word of God is the will of God. Yeah. So that's very familiar to all of us, but that's what we have to do. And that zeal is contagious. And I'm going to close with another line from Lifelines on the section on serving. And we have a whole book titled this, Born to Live, Born Again to Serve. So I appreciate you letting me share a little with you this morning. Just a jumping off place and a bit of a review from yesterday. And so I guess our next stop is breakfast at 8:30. So I'm going to close with a prayer. So Father, thank you for our wonderful day, for our fellowship one with another, for the encouragement that we get from your word as everybody presents these wonderful teachings to us. I thank you, Father, for a big shot in the arm so we can go back to where we live and move your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.